I have the amazing pleasure of introducing my husband today to give the word. So, yeah. Pastor Adam Opper,
thanks,
should come up.
Thanks, babe. Ah, it is good. I love what Jenna said about kind of like your father's side and mother's side. It's great. I don't know which one's the father, whether you guys are the father's side or the mother's side, but I love you both, all right? You're both. All right, it's good. Do you know, I've just been praying because I believe that, you know, every campus, every place has their own purpose, their own destiny. I mean, they're all together. They're all the same body. We're all the same people. But as I was praying, I'm like, God, what are some words like that you have literally for this campus? And I feel the Lord saying destiny. Destiny. And not just the campus, that you have a destiny. That you have a purpose. There's so many warriors out there that they don't know their destiny. They're waiting for someone to tell them that they have a destiny. You have a destiny. You know, let me just tell you kind of how the circle of life kind of happens. It seems like when you're a little kid, your parents, your moms and dads, and they say, well, when you're older, I can't wait to see what happens to you when you're older. That you have a destiny when you're older. We're going to prepare you for your destiny. But their destiny happened the moment they were born. A child can change someone's life by the words that they say. I know that my daughter is 9 years old, and when she was riding the back seat, you know, I would say something. You ever say something in your head, like your words you never really thought they were bad, and then she says it, or your little kid says it, you're like, ooh, I shouldn't say that, ooh. So my daughter would speak out things to me, and my life would change. See, now she had a calling and purpose at that moment, and she changed my life. See, then what happens when you get a little bit older? Then you start focusing on, well, your destiny is find a girlfriend, and then it's go to college, and then it is, well, what job are you going to have? And so then you do the job, and then pretty soon, and all of these things, you're like, well, I have to push my destiny off until I graduate college, or I don't graduate college, or I get that career. Then pretty soon it's like, well, after you get college, like, man, I got to get a wife. I got to, you know, someone's got to iron these shirts or something. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I iron the shirts in my house. But, you know, whatever happens to be, so you have a wife, and then pretty soon you're like, well, then you push your destiny back because you have children, and then pretty soon you push your destiny back, and then pretty soon people say you're too old to have a destiny. I was at a senior citizen home a few weeks back, and it was so awesome. I got to spend time with them. They're like in their 80s, 90 years old, and they love singing the hymns, and we're singing the hymns, and we're doing a Bible study. And I looked at them, and I said, do you know you have a destiny? And the woman was like, what? I'm like, you have a destiny. And they're looking at me like, well, what is it? I'm like, some of you guys, you don't have the opportunity that the rest of the world does. Like, you have more opportunities than the rest of the world does in this moment. They're like, really? They're like, what? I'm like, you can pray for the nations. From the morning you get up to the morning you go to bed, you can pray for the nations. And you kind of looked at them, and they saw kind of a fuzzy look on their face. And they're like, well, prayer doesn't do anything. How many times, and you're like, well, that's wrong to say. But how many times has someone said, will you pray for me? And they're like, yeah, when I go home, I'll pray for you. And you completely forget because you don't believe that prayer does something. And I said, you can change nations. The Bible, all over the Bible says that. It's like, and the church of such and such prayed. The church and church of such and such prayed. And things happened. See, I see this church. I see you at a particular destiny. It's not a in the future thing. It's a now thing. This church represents something that is very unique and very unusual. That I've been to a lot of churches. I'm not saying that church is bad. Everybody has a destiny of some sort. But this church has a separate destiny. I have not seen a church so multicultural than this one. That's something special. In this culture today, that's something extremely, extremely, extremely special. You know, with all the different things that are going around the world with racist stuff and so on and so forth, I said, you know, I have the greatest opportunity. See, because I see things differently. We all do. And I said, I want to see through the eyes of the people that go through my church, that go to our church. What do they see differently than I see? So I've been able to spend different times with people, and one of them was Devin. Devin, are you here? Devin, shake your hand. Devin right there, I was able to spend time with him. I said, Devin, what, culturally speaking, what do you see different? I want to listen. I want to hear. I'm telling you what, I learned so much from that man over there about what he goes through or with different things that he sees, these things that I've never seen. This is the greatest opportunity to find out what people see. Because if you look at our big puzzle, if you're missing a few pieces of the puzzle is never completed. But once when you have all the pieces, then the picture looks beautiful. And I see in this church a beautiful puzzle. A beautiful puzzle that isn't being formed together, it has been put together. In a very unique way for such a time as this, to see God's Spirit be moved and awesome things happen. So I am excited about what God is doing in this church. Very excited. Amen. All right, if you could go with me for a second, I want you to pull out your Bibles. Some of you guys have the Bible app on your phone, so pull out your iPhones, your Blueberries, your Blackberries, whatever you got, and let's pray over the Word today, okay? Here we go. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, today as we dig through your word, as we go forward in your presence, as we go forward in your word, Lord, that we recognize the light that is leading our path. Lord, that you have a destination and a destiny for our lives. You have a purpose and had a purpose from the time we were born until the time that we pass. And that we are the bearers of your presence. Lord, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of us, we don't really even realize, we hear it in church, we hear a lot of different things, but we don't realize that we have this purpose and that we have this destiny in our life that God has for us. Some people believe that you don't have a destiny, or maybe you had a destiny, but you screwed it up. I can tell you for a fact, you didn't screw it up. If there was a possibility of screwing it up, I probably would have been the candidate for screwing it up. Because I've screwed it up a lot of times. I even screw it up now. You know, I love, love, love my wife. I love her because she is a really great, just a great image of Jesus to me. Because I screw up. I screw up big times. I say things that I shouldn't say. Like one time, I'll tell you what I said this. I wasn't even thinking. I was stupid. I said to her one time, I said, hey, Jen, do you think, it's been about a year or so. She's like, do you think you could still fit in your wedding dress? I wasn't thinking. I was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. But I said that, and she's like, excuse me? I'm like, and at that moment, when your wife says, excuse me, like, you know something's going to happen. So I'm like, she's like, you're okay. I understand. You didn't really mean that. I'm like, no, I didn't mean it. Please, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it, right? Amen. Oh. Our calling from God is irrevocable. There's a scripture about that. I don't even know which scripture it is, but it's in there. Look it up on your iPhones. That our calling from God, it's irrevocable. Meaning that you can't, no one can take it back from you. No one can steal it. You can't even screw it up. It's like you bought some shirts and clothes, and they look good on you, but then you realize you don't have the money, and you're trying to take it back to the store, and they said, sorry, you can't take it back. God's given it to you, and you can't take it back. Amen. Amen. So today, I was in my car the other day, and actually, I can tell you, I had this car, and I love this car. It was my Saturn, and I love this car. It had about 83,000 miles on it. 183,000 miles. Thank you, wife. 183,000 miles on it. And I loved this car. I loved it. And, I mean, it was a great car. I mean, because I don't know what I'm going to do every day. Some days I'm dressing up nice, and so I have to have my driver's seat, I think, was the only thing that was clean. But, like, so, like, that was clean. But, like, the rest of my car was dirty and messy, and I could throw tools in it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes I'm painting a church. Sometimes I'm building cabinets at a church. Sometimes I'm helping somebody. Sometimes I have a bunch of teenagers in my car that just got slimed, and I need to ride home. So I loved this car. I really love this car. So the check engine light was on my car for quite a long time, and Jenna loved this car too, right, Jenna? No, she hated this car. But I loved it, all right? So we actually even had a nicer car at the time, but I liked driving that one. So we ended up driving. The other one was clean and nice, and whenever we take that car out, Jenna thought she was pretty special because it was really clean. It had a little, like, smelled, had a little, like, tree on there, so it smelled really nice. She's like, oh, where are we going? This place would be really special today, right? So anyway, so I had this car, and the check engine light was on it for a really long time. And I told Jenna, because we were at a meeting in Lorain, I said, this is the last time we're going to drive this car. And she's like, bummer. No, actually, she smiled. She was like, thank God. And so the moment that I said it, like 10 feet down the road, the car, and it died. It was literally the last time that car ever rolled out the door. Last time. And I was actually crushed by it. I was actually really sad because I loved this car. It was a great, it was a Saturn, so it had the plastic doors on it, so you could kick it and no scratch. It was great. I love that car. Right? So today I'm talking about check engine lights. Forbes says, I was reading this article the other day, that Forbes said that 80% of cars that are driving around today have a check engine light on. 80%. So most of y'all are driving a bummed out, disgusted piece of car that should be thrown away. No, I don't know. But 80% have a check engine light is on. And I want you to follow me for a second. I believe that we are the vehicle of God's presence. Actually, I don't just believe it. I know that we are the vehicle of God's presence. Wherever we go, whether it's a workplace, a school, a senior citizen's home, wherever it is, we are carrying God's presence wherever we go. So a situation could be one way, and we walk into it, and that situation should recognize the Holy Spirit that is in you and instantly start changing. I believe Pastor Caton is a master at it. Absolutely a master. He carries the presence of God. I love it. There are so many times that, like, just you could feel the mood in the church, and maybe it's different, or you feel the mood in some place. I've been with him at restaurants, and, like, he just changes the atmosphere, where a waitress would be like, and then she smiles, and she's like, I love you, Pastor Kate, you know, whatever, and just changes everything, because he carries the presence. We carry the presence of God, that we are a vehicle. But some of us, or a lot of us, or most of us, or all of us, myself included, we have check engine lights that are on our dashboard. I'm going to have a little response here, a little fun. All right, what are some check engine lights that go on in your car? Raise your hand. What is it? I'm going to ask. Go ahead, scream it out. What? Oil. Yes, low oil. Very good. What else? On this side, what do you think? What's another one that check engine light that's on your light? What? Brake light. Yes, emissions. Awesome. What about y'all? What are some check tires? Low pressure. Man, you must have a nice car. My car don't do that. Tell the low pressure. No, that's nice. I'm riding with you to lunch today. That's good. What do you got? What are some oxygen sensor? Yes, O2 sensor. Very good. Yeah, you must know your cars. That's good. What else? I'm just curious. Anybody else? Last ones? Muffler. Oh, I wish it had a muffler one on there. That'd be nice. What else? Heat gauge, kind of like heat temperature. Very good. It kind of says how hot it is. What else? Gas is low. There's one more that my wife loves that's on my car, and I dislike it. It goes like this. Seatbelt, right? I hate seatbelts. I don't like them at all. Every time from the time that we were dating until now, she's like, put that seatbelt on. I'm like, I don't want to wrinkle my shirt, babe. I'm like, you know, I mean, you know. We have these check engine lights on our cars, and they're for a reason. Forbes says in their research, saying that the average person doesn't fix their check engine light for 3 months. Sometimes up to 5 months. They said that oftentimes it will cost them 5 to 10 times more money to fix their vehicle if they would have just fixed it in the first place and wait to have it fixed. You see, in our life, it's the same thing. Our check engine light goes on in our life, and we decide not to fix it. And typically, it costs us more in the end than it would have been if we would have just fixed it. Now, what am I talking about that? The check engine light in our life is our sin. It's the issues and problems that we have in our life. Now don't go all crazy. You said the sin word. That's the S word. We're not supposed to say that in church. Now, what am I saying by that? It's actually a good thing that we have these check engine lights. Hopefully we can get them all repaired and fixed. But we have them. See, now, I want to just tell you, just be honest, just tell you some things. These are just a couple things. This is a small thing. So for a long time, I smoked for years. I smoked about a pack and a half a day. I started off thinking it was cool. I remember this so stupid when I think back. I was like in eighth grade, and we're on a ski trip, and somebody offered me a cigarette. And for some reason, I thought it was cool to smoke a cigarette while I was skiing down the hill. I mean, I burned myself all the way down. All the little ashes in my face kind of burned, right? How dumb is that? Now, I'm using smoking as an example. You don't go to hell because you're smoking. It's not good for you, but you're not going to hell, all right? There is no smoking section. no, there isn't that. So, but I'm just using this as an example. It's something that I tried to get rid of. I tried to get rid of it. I was actually, this was a long time ago, but I was even in ministry trying to like hide a cigarette because I needed a cigarette so bad. And I tried and tried and tried. But you know, I found out. So I went to this conference, and I wasn't even asking Jesus to take it away from me. And I was there, and I was in the presence of God. I was in his presence, and I was just worshiping the Lord, having an amazing time with him, an amazing experience. I was connecting with him. He was talking to me. I was talking to him. It was awesome. And by the end, I get to my car. I saw the cigarettes there, like tucked behind all my glove box, paperwork, so on and so forth. Didn't want anybody to see it. And the Lord said, "You're done." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm done?" He's like, "You're done. Done smoking?" He's like, "Yeah, you don't need them anymore." I'm like, took it. I chucked it out my window. Now, I'm sorry, that was littering. But I got rid of it. I wasn't trying to get rid of it. I actually even kind of gave up on it. I'm like, well, I'm just going to try to hide it a little bit more. You know, I don't want people to smell it. It's just, you know, whatever. But being in the presence of God shut off my check engine light. See, so oftentimes we try to fix the light. But if we just fix the engine, the light goes out. You know, my dad, this check engine light was on forever, and he hated this light on the car. So he took a drill and a drill motor and drilled a hole through the light and shut the light off. That's one way to get rid of it. But you know what? Though he got the light out, there was still problems with the car. Though we take the light, we try to put the light out in our life, the problem is still in the car. We can hide it. We can mask it. It doesn't go away. So there's a few things I want to go over about how do we get the check engine light out of our life? How do we get that off? Because we have a destiny and a purpose. Now, God's called us to those things, and none of those things stop us from getting to our calling, but they slow us down. You know, there's one thing on my old Saturn that, for some reason, I don't understand why, but if the battery went out, like the car, and you had to like re-put it together on the side of the road, it would only go like 20 miles an hour, and it wouldn't go any further. It just was broken. It wasn't working. It stopped me from getting where I needed to go. So one of them is the seatbelt. I like to say the seatbelt, the dinging, whatever. It's not listening. I don't have my seatbelt on. I didn't want to listen to it. I don't want to wear it. And so we're not listening. That is a huge thing that stops us from it. One is James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." James says that we should be quick to listen. Now, I don't know about you, but I know when I was a teenager, I didn't want to listen to my parents. I didn't want to listen to them, but I'm telling you what, every parent, I have my 9-year-old daughter, and as she's doing her thing, sometimes don't you just want to grab your kids and shake them and be like, just do what I'm telling you to do. I promise you it's going to be good. Johnny's not good for you. You don't want to be with Johnny. But I love Johnny. Johnny's so great. He said, he loves me. You know what happens to be? And you're like, Johnny's an idiot, you know? He doesn't have a job, you know, whatever happens to be, like, or whatever happens to be. And you're like, please, why don't you just listen? There's so many times if I would have listened to my parents. They weren't always right. And if you're a parent, you're not always be right. But teenagers, most of the time, they're right. They're going to screw up. And they'll screw up big. They're not Jesus. But if you listen to them, I guarantee you, you're going to be on a path. The Bible says, blessed are those who, like, I forgot how it follows their parents. It's in Proverbs. Check it out. That was a free one. And Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the word of God. So first we have to listen. The next thing is to hear the word of God. You know, they say that 80% of people have never read the Bible from cover to cover. Well, how are you supposed to hear the word of God if you never heard it? See, like church-wise, church is like general maintenance on your automobile. See, when Pastor Cajun or anyone that comes up here and speaks, the proper things to do is to ask the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have for this body of Christ? What do you have for them? Yes, some people are going to be like, oh man, that word was for me today. And that's awesome. And that's good. And that's how it, that would be, that's how, if everybody could say that, that would be fantastic. But it's general maintenance. It's like when you pull up to the auto shop and you take it there, what do? They top off your fluids, right? They hopefully do the 110-point check, which you know they didn't do. You know, they go through all these little things and they checked it and then you go on your way. But the Bible and Jesus go directly to you. The Father goes directly to you and helps you turn off those check engine lights. All of us know what our engine lights are in our life. You don't even need to say what they are. The Father knows and he's not going to remind you because you already know them. But he wants to shut them off. And the only way they can do is to listen to him. I can tell you that for most of my life, I didn't want to listen to the Lord because my dad and parents always said, if you do something wrong, you automatically go to hell. You didn't listen in church? Hell for you. You know, or like, you wore flip-flops? Hell. You know, whatever happened to be, like, everything was, like, everything sent you to hell. I'm like, really? And then the Lord's like, you know, man, and then you sing those bedtime stories. You know, the thing is like, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, it's like, and if I die before I wake, I'm like, no, I don't want to listen to you, right? So I didn't want to listen to the Lord. But let me just tell you, just straight up, that God is the greatest Father. That he only wants the best for you. Night and day, the Lord says, that he intercedes for you. No parent, no father goes to a baseball game and hope that they fail. You're going to fail, son. I'd be running away. God isn't like that. He's looking to have you be successful because you are already a success to him. He knows the end of your life. He's just trying to make sure that you get there. So we have to realize who God is and the Father's heart towards you. If you understand the Father's heart towards you, you'll listen. If a teenager or a child could understand your heart, they'd probably listen to you. Not all the time. Because we all think that we know what we're doing. God, you don't got that. God, you don't understand my situation. I can't find another girlfriend, whatever. You don't understand, like, I got to cheat at this job, God. Because if I don't cheat, I'm not going to get the job. And God's like, then you don't need the job. I'll tell you a quick story. I was in car sales for quite a few years. Actually, I got out of ministry school. And I'll make this story even bigger. So I was in ministry school, and I was praying the last week or two of being in school. And everybody's like, they're coming up, like, God told me I'm going to go to this church, I'm going to do this thing, and so on and so forth. And I'm praying, and the Lord keeps telling me to be in car sales. And I'm like, I know I'm not listening to you, Jesus. I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, you got to do something about this. Because I'm not supposed to go into car sales. That's not a Jesus thing. I'm being trained to be a pastor to go into a church. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so anyway, so I'm like, Lord, you do something. So like the last couple of days of ministry school, this kid comes up to me and he's kind of sweating and he's like nervous. He's like, Adam, like, don't think I'm dumb, but like the Lord keeps on wanting me to tell you that you're supposed to go into car sales. I started laughing. I'm like, really? And he's like, it's not funny. I'm like, no, that's what the Lord's been telling me. Okay. So then I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, this is great. God, I'm so with you. I get it. You want me to make a bunch of money and give it away. Awesome. I'm totally cool. I'll suffer for you. You know, I'll make the money. So anyways, funny story. I start at Saturn. I thought, you know, Saturn was an interesting, kind of a safe place. I love Saturn. They're the most honest of car dealerships. And I was a horrible car salesman. I couldn't. Like, I went there, and the guy, my manager, the person who hired me, when I was going for, like, an interview, I said, I'm really supposed to work here. He's like, great, what sales experience do you have? I'm like, I don't have any sales experience. He's like, well, what did you do before this? I was in ministry school. And he's like, brother, this job is not for you. And I'm like, no, I'm really supposed to do this. I'm really supposed to. And he's like, no. And I said, I'll tell you what. Give me 30 days, give me a chair, give me a seat, and just let me go at it. You don't even have to pay me. Whatever I get, you know, you don't have to pay me, I'll do it. He's like, okay. He's like, you're really confident. This is going to be pretty good. 30 days go by, I saw nothing. He calls me into his office. He's like, well, technically I don't fire you because I haven't hired you. So I told him, I said, can I have 30 more days? And he's like, honestly, I think you should move along, but all the salesmen here, they think you're funny. So they were so mean to me. Like every day they'd be like, oh yeah, go get that person over there. That person's definitely going to buy a car from you. Oh, they couldn't buy a pencil. I don't know. Anyways, but it was bad. But they did mean, they said I had to get some sales license. So they had me go all around the city trying to get the sales license from place to place. And all the dealerships were in on it. Like they called each dealership and they said, when I get there, like, so I get to the one place, I'm like, I'm supposed to get my dealer's license. And they're like, oh, you know, you just missed the guy. You have to go to Jack of Diamonds down the street. So then that guy called Jack of Diamonds down the street. I get there, I'm like, I'm supposed to get my sales license. They're like, oh, no, you're supposed to go. Like for 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours, I went trying to find the sales license. They were so mean to me. Long story short, so that 30 days go by, and he's like, well, I got you, see you later. And I actually started out with those little banquet chicken dinners because I didn't make any money. And I would eat 3 of them a day. Seriously. And then I was determined. And then the second month, I couldn't afford that. So I went down to 2 chicken, and they were only $1 each. They get, you know, they get the 10 for, what, 10 for $5? And so I went down to 2. Literally, I was getting so skinny by the third month, it was just, I was down to 1. And I said, look, I said, I know I can do this. I'm going to do this thing. And he's like, okay, I'll give you 30 more days, but then after that, like, you're taking up space and, you know, whatever. On the 90th day, I sold my first car. I did. It was good. It was a pea green Jeep. I will always remember this car. It was super ugly. Well, in Texas, you had 72 hours to take back a car if you didn't want it. So when I sold the car, I mean, I'm telling you what, like salespeople, typically, they're all about themselves. And so, but by the 90th day, they were clapping, they were cheering, they bought me a cake, balloons were going everywhere. I mean, it was a wild, wild experience. So all this goes on, my boss is like shaking my hands, like, good job, now go sell another one. I'm like, yes, sir, I'll do it, you know. So I go out there, and Monday morning, actually, payday wasn't that Friday, because I sold on a Friday. My manager knew I needed so much money that he went out and cashed the check for me to give it to me so I had money. And I ran out to Taco Bell, and I was eating so much Taco Bell. It was a $175 commission check. So anyway, so Monday comes by, and I dry out, and I'm about to cry. The car was sitting there. Every salesperson looked like they were about to cry. They saw me, they're like, I'm sorry, man. You know? And my boss goes, come on. The owner of the store was there too. He's like, come on, Adam. He's like, it's been 90 days. You haven't sold anything. He's like, we're just doing you a favor. Like, you're done. He's like, but we think because you're so determined, we think you can do it. You just need more training. So we're going to send you to the Toyota dealership down the street. We already got a phone call. You're already hired. They're going to do 2 weeks of training for you. If I think about it now, they probably sent me over there to destroy the business. That's probably what they did. But so I went through a 2-week training class, and after everything was done, I sold 3 cars in 1 day, which was amazing. By the end of the month, I was in like, they had like 15 salesmen. I was number 12, like from the top, right? And by about 3 months into it, the actual Saturn dealership called me back and said, we want you to train all of our new cars. You're going to be the new car sales manager. So I did that. I got a whole bunch of money. By the end of my car selling career, I was making about 80 grand, driving whatever I wanted to drive, loving it. And I was giving to Jesus, which was good. So I was doing that, and then one day, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're done. I'm like, what do you mean I'm done? Oh, I want to tell you this. This is the whole reason for the story. Is that they were trying to teach me to do dishonest things, or shady things, or little off-color things. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And they're like, well, then you're not going to sell cars. So I did it my own way. I mean, I would hop in trunks to show people how big their trunk space was. I mean, I did crazy, truthful, wild things to get them to buy cars. And they bought cars from me. And you know what? God, every single pastor, church person, whatever, they all got up to me. They're like, that's coincidence. I can't believe you know Jesus and I love Jesus. Like, God moves in amazing ways when you follow his ways, right? He's so good. So now I got to end the story since I started it. So the end of the story was this, is that the car salesman actually got really angry at me because I wouldn't do all the tricky things that they would. These people were horrible. If you came in and said you're a Buddhist, the person would say, oh, I'm Buddhist too. Or you're Catholic, I'm Catholic too. Or like she would have all, this one girl had all these like Christian things on like her, all these different things like Buddhist and meth and all this type of stuff on her thing. And when someone goes, oh, you're a Buddhist, she'd be like, yes, I am Buddhist. Oh, yes, to try to sell a car. And they were angry at me because I would be honest. Actually, I sat and read books most of the day. Someone would come in, I'd sell my car and go home. I mean, it was awesome. And they got angry at me. And so they started like doing things to me to try to get me fired. And so my boss called me and he's like, I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, why? He's like, actually, you're a really good salesperson. We want to keep you. He's like, but none of the salespeople like you. And it's causing problems. So it'd just be better if we just parted ways. And at this moment, like a couple days ago, I was like, the Lord told me I was done. And I'm like, I'm not done. I like my car. I like my money. I'm like, I thought we had a deal. Like, I was going to make the money because you needed it, God, and then I was going to give it away. And so I said, Lord, if this is what you want, I'll give it up. And so a couple days later, that happened, and I gave up the job. And I was like, okay, Lord, now what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do a sales job? He's like, no, ministry. And I was like, well, why did I do all that for you to send me a ministry? And the Lord said, you know what? He's like, a lot of people, they just don't know how to tell people about Jesus. And you have to build a relationship, build a friendship first. If that's what in sales you do. You build a friendship and a relationship. You build value in it, and then you tell them about Jesus. Because they don't want to know about Jesus until they know what Jesus has done in your life. Personal testimony. You know, I had an atheist. Jen and I, we're friends with a bunch of atheists. And they invite us to all their cookouts, which is always kind of fun. Because they were like, they come in and they're like, these are our Christian friends. And all the atheists are like, and they're like, there's a lot of anger and frustration there. And, you know, people are like, well, how do you know Jesus is real? I said, the only way I can tell you is by my personal experience, what happened in my life. I'm like, you can do all this stuff you want to say, but when it comes down to it, I couldn't read for most of my life. Jesus came into my life, changed my life. Now I can read. You can't deny that. I'm like, every day I wake up, not always happy, but most of the time happy, knowing that Jesus is in my life. I don't need to worry, right? Boom. So listening to God. Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the words of God. This is my favorite verse out of this whole message. This is my favorite one. So write it down. Write it on your refrigerator. Think about it later. It is so, so good. It's Jeremiah 33:3. I'm going to even give you a moment to look it up in your iPhones, your Blackberries, your Blueberries, your actual paperback, whatever you want. Jeremiah 33:3. Now, while you're looking that up, I want to tell you, I had a really good hermeneutics professor. He was really, really good. Hermeneutics is pretty much just kind of studying the Bible, the who, what, when, where, how things happen, so on and so forth. He was a detective, was a top detective for a long time, retired, and became a hermeneutics teacher. And he would say to me, he's like, Adam, what do you see in this verse? What it says? And he's like, no, what do you see? Abraham, Sarah. He's like, no. He's like, put yourself in the verse. Like, what was it like to be there? What did you see? What was your family life like? Where did you live? Was it in a hot place, a cold place? Where was it? Put yourself in there and understand where they're coming from. Like, that's so good. So this is one of these great passages. All right, here it is. Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Now, what my hermeneutics professor would say is when you read a scripture, he's like, sometimes go and just pronunciate one or accentuate one word and then read the rest of it normal. So I'll give you an example. So it'd be like, call to me and I will answer you. Or be call to me or call to me and I will answer you. Or call to me and I will answer and I will tell you great and unspeakable things. That as we are listening to God, God will tell you things you don't know. Things that the person next to you doesn't know. Look at the person next to you and say, you don't know. Say, you don't know. God will tell you things that you don't know. That God will answer you. This is so great that when you talk to God, God answers you. You're not waiting around. He's literally talking to you. For some reason, God loves to talk to me in the shower. I don't know why. Or when I want to go to bed. I'm in the shower. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to do. And he's like, hey, Adam, what's up? I'm like, dude, Jesus, whatever. Or when I'm trying to go to bed, and I'm like, oh, I've had such a hard day. It was a long day. And I'm like, God's like, hey, Adam, guess what? I'm like, oh, Jesus, really? You know? And so I talk to me. Sometimes, every once in a while, I'll be like, okay, Jesus, I give up. You're not going to let me go. I'll go downstairs, or I'll get up, and let's start talking. But it's always good. You see, God is like the secret connection. All right, if your friend, or you were close to, say, the president, say Obama, and you were with him, President Obama, and you were with him, right, and you were buddies. Now, I'm telling you what, you would know a couple things here or there that I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know where the bathroom was, but you would know because you'd probably go visit him. Like secret things that you wouldn't know. We have someone even greater than a president. We have Jesus. Do you know that there are things in your workplace going on right now that there are not answers to? That they have scientists looking into it, computer engineers looking into it, but you could have the answers because God knows computers pretty well? That he knows auto mechanics really well. If you're a teacher, he knows the students really well. He knows all of these things, and he could give you the answers to questions that will boggle people's minds when you give it to them. You could be the janitor of a school, and you see, I love this one movie, I forgot what it was, but he was a janitor of this school, and on the blackboard was this like crazy like thing on there, right? What? Good Will Hunting? Oh my gosh. And he like corrected it. Like literally, we are Good Will Hunting. Like you in the natural might not, but you in the supernatural are. That God has created you to be able to answer the questions that the world has and needs to have answered. The Bible says that he will use the foolish things to shame the wise. Do you know why God would want to shame the wise? Because that's a check engine light in their life that they need to connect with him. Maybe I'm not so smart. How do you get that answer? Jesus. Maybe I should connect with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? That God calls. He says he calls me. It's not a one-way street. You don't have to call him. He calls you. It's a two-way relationship. If you're always trying to listen and you don't ask him how his day is, that's kind of a bad relationship. But he calls you. He says he'll answer you. And he'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. One thing that kind of comes to mind about searchable is, you know, with Google, you could search everything and anything. But God says that he'll give you things that are unsearchable. A lot of us, we have the check engine light in our life. like I said, God wants us to get to that destination. He wants us to get to the place that he's called us to go. Every day is a new moment, a new thing to connect with him about. Everything is different. Everything is unique. Every morning to get up out of bed and say, God, what do you have for me today? And God gets excited about it. He's like, oh my gosh, I have this for you and this for you and this for you and this for you. I was sick all day yesterday. Super, super, super sick. I'm actually amazed that I'm here today. Really sick. And I'm like, Jenna, my pants split. Can you, it's like the only pair of jeans I had left. I'm like, will you go get me some clothes? And she's like, okay. So she goes, because she was with her mom. So they went out and they bought like 13 items, like 13 different outfits for me to like pick in the morning. It was so sweet and so nice. She had them all laid out for me and everything. So when I would wake up, I wouldn't have to think about what I was going to wear today. Like, that was so nice. God is just like that. She was excited about it too. She's like, did you see it? Did you get it? I'm like, yeah, I saw it. Every day God sets out your clothes for you. Don't walk by him. Don't walk past him. God, I don't want to look at those clothes. I don't want to. I have what I like. I like this over here. I don't even want to look at it. I'm going to go because this is what I like. But do you know that God will pick out stuff that you like? God doesn't pick out stuff you don't like. Jenna's mother used to dress, I saw pictures, used to dress Jenna really horribly. And she's not here, so I can say it, right? Really like poofy, pinky things, right? And Jenna would be like, no, I'm not wearing them. See, now, but God picks out good things. You're not going to wear poofy clothes, I promise. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word, so deceiving yourself, do what it says. If the check engine light is on, it's not to separate you from God, it's to bring you closer. When a check engine light is on in my car, and if I do the right thing, because a lot of times I don't when it comes to it, because I don't want to spend the money. When the check engine light goes in your car, where do you take it to? You take it to the dealership. You take it to the auto mechanic. You take it to the manufacturer, because the manufacturer knows how to fix the problem. God is the manufacturer. He knows how to fix the problem. He wants you to come closer to him. Draw close to me and I'll draw close to you, says the word. To draw closer to him, because he doesn't want the engine light on your car. He wants you to go to your destination as quickly as possible. It says, don't deceive yourself. Philippians 4:9 says, wherever you have learned or have received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And God, and the God of peace will be with you. See, a lot of times when we put ourselves in the position, I can tell you a lot of times, there was a high school girlfriend I thought I was going to marry and all sorts of things like that. Thank God. They're all wonderful people. But I'm so glad I didn't marry them, that I married Jenna. She is so nice to me. You know? But all the other choices that I made brought strife in my life and brought friction. It wasn't because they were a bad person, but they were a bad person for me. But see, I was so insecure at the time. I was like, no, but this is the, in my head, I never would have admitted it, but I said, but this is the only one that likes me. I don't have many options. This is the girl for me, you know? You know, it wasn't until I let go and I said, God, I don't even want to be with anybody. I'm like, and honestly, I thought, you know what, God, I just want to be with you. And that was a truthful, honest thing. It wasn't a flippant thing. Don't go home and be like, I don't want to be with anybody. Lord, hook me up. You know, but like, I was like, I'm cool. The very like next day, I was speaking at a church and here's this girl and she's worshiping Jesus over here. And she's just like lifting up her hands and like the light was like right on her. And the Lord's like, that's your wife. I'm like, no, she ain't. I said, I thought we just had this, we had this conversation yesterday. I am good. He's like, no, you're not. That's your wife. I never told her, like, until, like, maybe we were engaged or somewhere right around there, that the Lord told me that. But I kind of, like, was, like, kind of away from her. Like, I remember one time, like, she brought a bag that I needed, and she's like, here's your bag. I'm like, oh, thanks. And, like, Jenna still remembers that. She's like, you were so mean to me. I'm like, you know? But you know what? eventually, Jen and I connected, obviously, and we got married. But God knew, right? That's good. But you know, I didn't want to trust God. I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to do what I thought was right. You know, we do it, the best example is tithing. Like, I don't want to tithe. I don't have a lot of money. And kind of, I like to get those pair of jeans and that shirt. So often, I don't trust God. I don't trust that God can get that for me. If I need it, God will give it to me. If my earthly dad, if I needed something, he'd give it to me. If I honestly needed something, he never let me down. The Bible says if you cry out for bread, I'm not going to give you a rock. But we don't want to trust. We don't want to listen. But then we know that if we do, God blesses us. You know, one thing I like about Pastor Kayton is he gives his money away all the time. I go out to eat with him, he pays for dinner. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, how in the world is he surviving? He only works on one paycheck from Lorraine. That's all he does. He doesn't take a paycheck from here, Wycliffe or Avon or so on and so forth. And he gives all of his money away. How does that work out? I have no idea. You know that his honest goal, is to be able to one day not take a salary at all? And he's working towards that goal? I actually had the same goal. He's just really far ahead of me. But that's awesome. I love that. He trusts God. I love the story they talked about Pastor Tina and how she had the $1,000 that she had hidden and saved for some reason. And then she gave it away. And then Pastor Kane is like, you gave away the money? What? But you find out why she gave it. And he's like, that was awesome. She gave it away to a good cause. It's so good. I love that. Blessings come in many ways. His family's blessed. The people around him is blessed. His car is over 200,000 miles and it keeps going. It's the blessings. The Lord says that, you know, that he'll take the holes out of your pockets. That you'll stop losing and you'll start winning. One last thing and I'm done here. You know, I got to admit this. I'm always trying to be really honest when I speak, because when I speak, you know, if I'm not being honest, then you can't do what I'm being dishonest about, because I didn't do it myself, right? So I have my car, right, and I have a check engine light, and it was on. It was actually my Saturn. And the engine light would never go out, and it cost a lot of money to fix it. I'm like, this car's old. I don't want to get that fixed. And so I went to the auto parts store, and I said, hey, would you mind turning off the light? The little check engine light? They're like, well, you're not really supposed to do that. I'm like, well, can you do it for me? I'm like, kind of a church person. I'm like, I said that. Isn't that bad? I can't believe. I'm such a sinner. Anyways, I was so bad. And he's like, well, in that case, I'll shut it off for you, you know. So he shut the light off for me. But you know, the thing is that the light got shut off, but the problem still existed. You know, we can fool people. We can fool people all day long. But we're really not fooling anybody. And it stops us from getting where we're going. Don't try to fake the e-check with your destiny. Don't try to pay someone off to cover up what God's really wanting to fix. Don't you want your engine driving well? I do. I don't do that anymore. I actually take it and get it fixed. Because I know that what happens is if you don't fix it, you're going to have a bigger problem. It's going to cost you more. It's going to cost you a lot more. Maybe you have anger issues and you're an angry person. It's going to cost you. Maybe you might not have the greatest relationship with your family or your wife. Maybe you'll get transported to your kids because you did it, so now your kids are doing it. I know my grandpa, he was really abusive. And my dad became abusive. But then he met Jesus and he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And he stopped it. None of my family from that generation on is like that or does that. Because he stopped it. He fixed the light. And because he fixed the light, it fixed it in us too. It's amazing. God says that things go down by generation. That the things you learn, the things you know, the blessings you have. God wants to give you jobs. God wants to give you things. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your kids. Fix the check engine lights. And your kids, because they're on the same destination until they grow up and they do their own thing, they're in the car with you. Don't let your 9-year-old daughter turn around and say, "Dad, you're speeding." Do what you're supposed to do. God will always bless you. Don't drive in danger. If there's someone to play music, that'd be awesome. I don't know, do you have anybody play some music? Thank you. So today, if you take anything away from today, anything at all, I want you to know that you do have a purpose and a destination and a destiny. I love spending time with you. I love spending time with people one-on-one, going to coffee shops. I even go to people that I don't like. And then guess what? I end up liking them. Why? Because I get to know who God's created. God's not created any junk. There's not one piece of garbage. God's not into recycling. He's into restoration. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have a destination and a destiny for our hearts and our lives. You are such a good Father. You are a good, good, good Father. Lord, as a church, there is such a destiny in this church that is unspeakable. I believe that this church could be the key to something completely amazing and huge in Cleveland. Because we carry your presence. Just take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak the words into your heart and into your life. Ask Him what your destiny is, your purpose. You don't need to ask Him what check engine lights are on, because I guarantee you already know them. But right now, because we're in the presence of God, things will happen. Lights will start shutting off. Show. Jesus. I just feel in the Holy Spirit just saying there's a couple addictions that are being, the lights are being shut off right now. And if you have those, claim that. Claim that that light is off. Be like, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you for taking that off." Say that to yourself. "Thank you for taking these things away from me." I see some family struggles, parents against a child, that there's a check engine light on right now, but I see the Lord, he's fixing that, he's changing that. That your kids will be drawn back to you. Jesus. Jenna, can you come? I didn't have her come up the last service, but I really feel that she's supposed to be up here. Can everybody stand up with me? I just want to just go back into the song really quick about good, good Father. And allow that to penetrate into your heart, into your life. This song, this place, Jesus, which is going to shut check engine lights off in your heart and your life. Things that you've been struggling with for years. Struggle with smoking from 8th grade up until, I don't know, years. One moment, one presence of God, gone. Other addictions, other things that I had in my life, gone. One presence with Jesus. Get connected with Jesus, these things just go away. So take this moment, get connected with Him. Tell Him how much of a good Father He is. Get into His presence.
It's who I am, you're a good, good Father. It's who I am, It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, always perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us,
you're a good Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved.
You are a good, good Father, and we are loved by you. So much so that you are just so excited to see us walk on our calling and our purpose. You know, one thing that I picked up from Adam's message just came back to me, actually in the first service even, and it was a quote from one of my favorite pastors, Bill Johnson. It says, I can't afford to have a thought in my head that God doesn't have in his. I can't afford to have negative thoughts in my head about myself. I can't afford it. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, what happens when you can't afford something? You're in debt, right? When you can't afford something, you then become indebted to something, right? And who's the creditor that I'm always calling? The devil? He's always calling, say, hey, you're in debt. What you gonna do about it? And I have these little loans I can pass out to you to just get you covered, right? He's trying to cover the void that you have with a bunch of counterfeit nonsense that isn't gonna get you to where you wanna go. It's gonna limit your destiny. It's gonna cut off your destiny. But all you have to do is go right back to your daddy. Hey, daddy, I messed it up. I thought I could afford not spending time with you, but I can't. Because when I do, I'm indebted to the one who wants to destroy my life. We can't afford to have thoughts in our head that aren't in his. We can't afford it. And I think that's kind of what the summary for me in this message is that we have to be connected to our Heavenly Father, to know our fullness and our calling and where He wants us to go. So let's just pray, receive that word, and go forward into all that God has for us today. God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that we can be connected. Like Adam said, even more so than the president, Father, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can be in connected to you and know exactly your thoughts for us, God, every second of every day. So right now we commit our mind and our spirit and our body to you and you alone. And we thank you, Father, that you've paid the debt. You paid the debt, and the enemy has no hold. He has no hold. So, Father, we just receive the truth of what you spoke today, Father. And we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you that you have good things for us. You have awesome, amazing things for this family. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.